Seven Tunisian fishermen who say they rescued 44 migrants at sea are on trial in Italy for aiding and abetting illegal immigration. If convicted, they face up to 15 years in jail. The case has alarmed human rights groups who say the Tunisians should be thanked, not put on trial, for saving people. They fear conviction would discourage fishermen from rescuing drowning migrants. With thousands of illegal immigrants setting off each week in rickety, overcrowded boats to reach Europe, fishermen play an increasingly crucial role as potential lifesavers. The migrants, who come from many different countries in Africa, the Middle East and Asia, are all hoping to find a better life in the wealthy countries of Europe. But how many of them never reach their destination and instead perish at sea? Fortress Europe, an Italian website that monitors deaths and disappearances of migrants in Europe, says there have been nearly 500 reported deaths in the Strait of Sicily alone so far this year. And many fear that these figures could be just the tip of the iceberg. When a flimsy boat capsizes due to rough seas and overcrowding, or the engine cuts out, often the migrants' only chance of survival is to hope that a fishing boat may spot them in the waters and come to their rescue. That's why human rights groups and refugee advocacy groups are concerned about this ongoing trial involving the seven Tunisian men. They were arrested in August after they brought 44 people, including two pregnant women and a disabled child, ashore to the Italian island of Lampedusa. The Tunisians spent more than a month in jail before being brought to trial in Sicily. Andrew Galea de Bono is a lawyer and an international advocacy coordinator for Jesuit Refugee Services. He fears this particular case could definitely discourage fishing boats from rescuing migrants at risk of drowning.
So far, there have never been any convictions on a case of this sort, and the reason is that there is an attempt by the law to encourage humanitarian actions, to encourage people to save others who are in danger at sea. It is actually international law and Italian law that people should and must rescue people who are in danger of drowning at sea, so they are obliged to do that. Therefore, it will be bad and quite confusing as well for potential rescuers to be found in a situation where they are also potentially liable to up to 15 years in prison for doing something which the law also tells them to do.
So in a sense, there's a fundamental contradiction here.
Yes. On one side, we are telling people you should rescue people in danger. And on the other hand, we're saying if you rescue people in danger, you can end up in jail. You are potentially a criminal. And so therefore, potential rescuers ask themselves in a moment of hesitation, which can cost lives, they ask themselves, shall we rescue or shall we not? And even when eventually rescuers, fishermen who rescue people, are not found guilty, they still do undergo trial and sometimes have their fishing boat confiscated for up to a week or more, which means that they can't work in those days, and which leads to situations where potential rescuers do not rescue people and people die. And that's a consequence. I mean, people are dying due to hesitations caused by wrong priorities.
In fact, you mentioned there about them having their boats impounded and being detained. The seven Tunisian men who are on trial in this particular case, they were held for more than a month in jail. So, as you say, even if they are eventually found innocent, their livelihood has obviously been badly hit by this lengthy detention.
Yes, this unfortunately is already going to create a precedent whether the people are released or not. Therefore, anybody who's going to find themselves in a similar situation to these seven Tunisian men are going to rightly pose themselves questions. How much is this going to affect our lives? Is it worth for ourselves calling coast guards to help these people when it might compromise our own lives?
How crucial a role do fishermen play in saving migrants at sea? Because as we know, these migrants are often set forth in very overcrowded and rickety and basically often unseaworthy boats.
It's very random. Basically, the fishermen have quite a big possibility of encountering boats going from south to north because there are quite a few and quite widespread around the sea. So they do obviously play a role in this, but it's not just fishermen, but also other private boats have in the past been part of rescue operations. We've had a case of Spanish ships carrying merchandise, for example, coming across people who are drowning, and they might well find themselves in a similar situation to fishermen. But yes, I mean, these private boats definitely play a potentially big part in rescuing people because they find themselves in very cut-off places in the middle of the sea where it's either them who rescue the people or the people drown. It's not as if it's a rescue operation on land where the people can sit and wait. If the sea is rough, and even if it's not, people have to struggle to stay afloat, and it takes time for the so-called official rescue teams to come and support this rescue mission. So it's very important that private boats are encouraged to keep on rescuing people.
And when it comes to JRS, have the staff there said in their talks with migrants when they've reached, shall we say, their host country, have they told of tales where they have been rescued by fishermen or other operators of private vessels?
It is very common for people who eventually reach a country of protection to have benefited from a rescue operation, even from non-official parties. Mainly the people who do end up getting caught and seeking asylum are people who find themselves first rescued and then detained sometimes for long periods of time, in the case of Malta. So it's not uncommon for people to tell us stories of being rescued at sea, yes. And sometimes, tragically, they also tell us stories that they were rescued, but some of their companions on the travel were not as lucky. Sometimes even relatives die on the journey. Quite tragic stories, actually. And it just makes you understand how many people are actually not managing to make it across the Mediterranean.
In fact, do we have any approximate idea how many migrants have drowned making the sea crossing from Africa or the Middle East to Europe?
Unofficial figures state that since 1988, over 10,000 people have died. The official figure at the moment is 10,372 people, and these are the ones who have been ascertained. Amongst them, over 3,500 are missing at sea. So we're talking about quite a huge number of people who are known to have died or have been missing for quite a number of years and are obviously thought to be dead. But the figures definitely could be much, much larger than that.
So these estimates or semi-official figures could just be the tip of the iceberg?
Probably they are, yes. When you find a body floating alone, it's probably likely that there were at least another 10 people with that person who drowned, just that their bodies were never found.
How often does it happen that bodies do wash up on the shores of the Mediterranean?
Very often, every week, sometimes every day of the week, especially in the summertime when more trips are made. I mean, if you go and look on some of websites which do document the deaths at sea, you'd be shocked to see how many.
Are there other cases where the migrants tell of fishermen who, instead of rescue them, turn their backs on migrants in difficulty?
We have come across at least a couple of cases where it was eventually found out that a fisherman has not rescued someone at sea due to fear. I mean, there was the famous case just a couple of months ago in Malta where a Maltese fisherman found some people floating, clinging onto a tuna net in the middle of the sea, and the person refused to take them aboard, claiming that he was afraid of what would happen to him, and he just went off. I mean, fortunately, some of the people survived. Unfortunately, some others died. I feel that there are more people who are rescuing than not rescuing at the moment, but the more time passes and the more restrictions are being made on people to rescue and the more the possibilities of their boats being impounded and then being prosecuted, the more we're hearing of stories of people, of fishermen who are, at the end of the day, deciding not to rescue people.
Given this issue and given, as you say, these increasing restrictions or fears that may be felt now by fishermen, fishermen and other vessels before they pick up illegal migrants. What move would you like to be seen taken by governments, the governments of the countries concerned?
We have to understand that there are not going to be any clear-cut solutions to this situation, and therefore we've got to prioritize what we can do and what we're ready to do. We have to ask ourselves this question: as Europeans, are we really ready to lower our value that we give to human life in order to stop people from coming to Europe? And this is the fundamental question. We have a priority to make. Is it going to be human lives, or is it going to be some notion of security which is being imposed on us as human beings? What are we going to choose, life or death? And it's as simple as that.
I was speaking there to Andrew Galea de Bono, lawyer and international advocacy coordinator for Jesuit Refugee Services.
Ave Maria, Stella del Mare, Estas.